Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Ches. We are holding on daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis at the two dots at the bottom of the page of Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. So Bez Hashem will finish off the seventh parak and begin the eighth parak of Maseches Bava Basra today. So the first thing we're going to discuss, just to finish off the parak, is we spoke about how if a person sells a portion of a field, he also has to provide an area for the fence and for the ditches around the fence that protect the field, because animals will not be able to jump over the fence as a result of the ditches. So we're just going to finish off with the discussion of exactly how large those ditches are and why both of them are actually necessary. Then we're going to begin Perek Yesh Nochlin. Perek Yesh Nochlin is going to talk all about the Dinim of Yerusha. So the mission we're going to have today is going to give four categories of relationships as far as Yerusha is concerned. There are some relationships that are reciprocal relationships, Nochlin Umanchilin, that you would be Yarshin from the person and also Yarshin to the person. And then there are Nochlin Velo Manchilin, Manchilin Velo Nochlin, and Lo Nochlin Velo Manchilin. Some situations you would Yarshin from, but not bequeath to. Some relationships you'd bequeath to, but not Yarshin from, and some that you would have neither. So we're going to identify all of those different relationships in the Mishnah. Then the Gemara is going to ask a technical question, that it seems that there are two very good reasons to first discuss the halacha of a son yarshining a father, rather than discussing a father yarshining a son. Yet, the Mishnah first discusses a father yarshining a son. So why should that be the case, especially considering that the Gemara is going to identify two very good reasons to begin the other way, to begin with the situation where the father dies and the son yarshins the father. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is also going to talk about why it is that we darshin that a son and not a brother comes first. I mean, we're going to make a drasha that a son comes before other people. Why is it that but it's not explicit in the pasuk that it's about a son, so maybe the drasha could have just as easily been about a brother. How do I know that a son is a closer relationship than a brother? Meaning what we're going to look for is other areas in Torah, other areas in Halacha, where a son takes precedence over a brother. So let's begin at Kuf Zayin and Beis at the bottom of the page. Mekabel Lav Makom Geder. The Mishnah had said that when you sell a portion of a field, you're also providing, you're expected to provide a spot for the fence and for the ditches that they would dig around the fence. So Tana Charetz Mi Bechutz Uben Charetz Mi Befnim. On the outside, they would have a larger ditch, and then closer into the fence, they would have a smaller ditch. V'zev zeh achorei geder. But both of them are on the other side of the fence. Kedei shelotei chaya kofetzes. And the purpose of it is that you shouldn't have an animal climb up on the fence and to get into the property. The animal will not be able to jump up on the fence because of these ditches that are in its way. V'loved charetz v'loved ben charetz. Why do you need two ditches? Just make the big one and don't make the small one, and the animal won't be able to jump up. The Gemara says it will be able to, because I did the ravach kaima begave v'kavtza. Since it's wide, the animal will be able to go inside the ditch, and he'll be able to get a little bit of a running start, because there's a certain width to it, so he'll still be able to jump up onto the fence. Okay, so v'lav ben charetz, v'lav charetz. So make the narrower ditch, and don't make the wider ditch, and that should be enough. Now, I did the cut, and since it's narrow, kaima asvase v'kavtza, he'll be able to stand at its edge and jump over it. So that's why we have to have the narrow ditch and the wider ditch. V'kama bin charetz ben charetz, and how much space do you have between these two ditches? So tefach, that you leave one tefach of space, and that should do the trick. That should keep all of the animals out of the field. Hadron alach beis kor. We now begin perek Yesh Nochlin. So it's the entire parak is built on a series of psukim in Bamidbar Perach of Zayin. Ish ki yamus uben ein lo. If a man dies and he doesn't have any children, so the Torah tells us what to do with his estate. So the Torah says, if he doesn't have any children, if he doesn't have any sons, vavartim es nachlaso lebito. His Yerusha goes to his daughters. V'imein lo bas, he doesn't have a daughter, unesatim es nachlaso le'echav. Then you give the Yerusha to his brothers. V'imein lo achim, if he doesn't have brothers, unesatim es nachlaso le'achei aviv. You give Yerusha to his uncles, his father's brothers. Notice we skipped the father. V'im ein achim la'aviv, and if the father doesn't have any brothers, you find the closest relative, Yerashasa, and that relative will Yarshin. So we're going to have many, many drushos about this set of psukim. What exactly are the dinim of Yerusha? Who are the krovim that are ra'ui to Yarshin? Who's considered closer than who, and therefore precedes them in the Seder of Yerusha? Well, we're also going to discuss the chelik of a bechar b'Yerusha, the ability of the morish to be mafkia the zuchus of the yoresh from the Yerusha. Can I decide that I don't want, can I write someone out of the will, decide that I don't want them to yarshin me, or is it a din in the Torah that I have no control over? Is there such a thing called Yerusha Mechayim? What if there are yarshim gedolim and yarshim ketanim? What advantages and disadvantages does each one have over the other? So all of that is the subject of this parak. So let's see the Mishnah. Yesh nochlin umanchilin, v'yesh nochlin v'lo manchilin, manchilin v'lo nochlin, lo nochlin v'lo manchilin. There are four categories. There are those that are nochel umanchil, that it's a reciprocal relationship. There are those that only yarshin but do not bequeath, those that bequeath but do not receive Yerusha, and those that neither applies to. The Rashbam, in the first Rashbam, points out, v'haydelokatani yesh nochlin ze'ezeh. You know, instead of nochlin umanchilin, why don't we just say nochlin ze'ezeh? They yarshin from each other. So he says, ha'aynu mishum dubayi l'mesni seifa nochlin v'lo manchilin, tananam resha nochlin umanchilin. It just fits in more nicely with what we're going to say. Nochlin v'lo manchilin, manchilin v'lo nochlin. There's no way of saying that in a ze'ezeh kind of way. So we're keeping the language consistent in all four categories. The Rashbam and Dibur Maschil manchilin v'lo nochlin, there are those that are manchil but are not nochel, bequeath but do not receive Yerusha, says Rashbam, heim osam da'amru b'hu nochlin v'lo manchilin. That's just the flip side of the relationship of nochlin v'lo manchilin, meaning to say that there are people that bequeath but do not receive Yerusha, and there are people that receive Yerusha but do not bequeath. Those are all the same people. We're just talking about the people, two different sides of the relationship. Mechal de'inach she'elu nochlin osam v'lo manchilin lehen mikru manchilin v'lo nochlin. So the Rashbam points out, obviously the Gemara is going to have to deal with a question that's as basic as that. Why we would have to have two separate categories? Why can't you just derive one category from the other? So now the Mishnah gets into details. The following are where the relationship is close enough that you yarshin from and you yarshin to these relationships. Ha'av es habanim, a father to his children. The father yarshins to the children. If the children, die, the father yarshins from them, but he would also yarshin to them. Va'banim es ha'av, and children to the father. Va'achin mina'av, and also brothers that share the same father. In all of those cases, nochlin umanchilin. You have it, it works in both directions, nochlin umanchilin. Tosus points out, ve'el nochlin umanchilin, we gave four categories, and the first one we elaborate on is the first category. Tosus points out, it's not always like that in Shas. Sometimes we'll give a list, and we'll start expounding on the last item of the list first, and work our way backwards. So Tosus just points out that the ikaduchte dinakara de salik minei, vi ikad de pasach bei, we explain over there why it is that sometimes we pick up with what we left off and sometimes we pick up with the very first item on the list. But that's the clearly over here we start with the first item on the list. We're going in order. Now if you look at the Rashbam, va'achin min ha'av, where we said that they are nochlin umanchilin, so Rashbam points out, kigon, Reuven v'Yosef b'nei Yaakov. Reuven and Yosef, both sons of Yaakov. It's pretty easy to follow. He picks names that we're familiar with. Afal pi shehein mi Leia u'me Rachel. Even though Reuven is from Leia and Yosef is from Rachel, Yorshim ze'ezeh. Still, Reuven and Yosef are absolutely brothers as far as Yerusha is concerned. Bishvil she'enachin. U'kigon shemeis Yaakov avien. And that's assuming, of course, that Yaakov is dead. Avalim Yaakov kayam hu kodem. If Yaakov is alive, then before you give to your brothers, you give to your father. And it's also assuming that neither of them have their own children. If they had their own children, they would go to their children before anybody. And we're going to see that it has to be, it specifically says that that it's achin mina'av and not just stam achin, because it has to be that we're talking about from the father's side of things and not from the mother's side of things. When it comes to Yerusha, that's how we define kurva when it comes to Yerusha. There is a discussion in the Achronim, well, really in the Rishonim, but the Achronim expound on it greatly. How exactly does Yerusha's Ha'achim work? You know, there are two types of Yerusha we're going to see already in today's daf. There's Yerusha that's direct, and Yerusha that's called Al Yidei Mishmush, that it's not because of my direct relationship, but it works through a third party. Meaning, so brothers, you could say in two ways, he's my brother, so of course we yarshin each other. Or do you say that no, the father yarshins the brother, and then if the father's not there to receive the Yerusha, the father's bekever, so the Yerusha goes through the father to the child. So that is a discussion, a major discussion in the Achronim. Rav Elchanan, Kovitz Shirim, Rav Shin Yotes, brings a raya from a Sifri. The Sifri says, Minayin sha'av yoresh, amr kal v'chomer. How do I know father yarshins? It's a kal v'chomer. Uma achim she'enem bam ela mikoach ha'av. Harehem Yarshim. If brothers that only receive Yerusha mikoach ha'av still receive Yerusha, ha'av she'ena achim ba'im ela mikocho dinu she'irash. So a father where he's the cause of the brothers Yarshim should for sure receive Yerusha. So you see that Yerusha's ha'achim is clearly midin mishmush that it obviously works through the father. But he says no, it's not necessarily true, because then you don't need a pasuk to learn from the pasuk that the father comes before the brothers. Obviously the father would come before the brothers if it all works through the brothers. He has other rayas as well. Question is, with all the rayas and all the different shitos, and you could be medayik in many rishonim, what they hold, l'may nafkamina. Is there any nafkamina whether the Yerusha works directly or whether the Yerusha works al yidei mishmash? So there are several nafkamina. The Maram Shif in the Tosos Dibra Maskel V'Achin over here says nafkamina based on what the Gemara is going to say in that if a father sells the nechasim of one of his sons during his lifetime, meaning the father's already anticipating, the son might die, I'm going to yarshin the son, so I'm going to sell my rights in the son's Yerusha. And then, as luck would have it, the father dies before that son dies. So the surviving son, the brother of the nifter, can take the nechasim from the guy who bought them from the father, with the taina that he's the true yoresh, he's being yoresh his brother's nechasim, and he's getting it mikoach achiv, not mikoach aviv. But if brothers were yarshining actually through mishmush, actually mikoach aviv, then the sale would be binding, and the surviving brother would not be able to take it away from the lukuchos. Another nafkamina, Rabbi Kiv Eger in a tshuva in Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Lamid Beis says nafkamina would be according to Rabbi Yochanan Broka, who holds that a father is able to be manchil to whichever son he wants. He's able to choose. So if one of the brothers says that he's being morish his nechasim to only one of his brothers, let's say you have several brothers, but he likes, you have 12 shvatim, you have Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven says, you know what, I want all of my stuff to go only to Shimon. I don't want Levi, Yehuda, Dan, Naphtali, I don't want any of them. I want it all to go only to Shimon. So if it's midin Yerusha that's straight from one brother to the other, if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan Baruch's Shita, that you're able to do that, you're able to telegraph it to a specific one of the closest Yerushim, so then yeah, that would work. But if it works midin mishmush, if it works through the father, so a brother can't say, Reuven can't say, I want it all to go to Shimon, unless Yaakov's on board with that, it doesn't work, because it has to go through the father, so then it would still get split evenly amongst all the brothers. Another potential nafkamina they point out, the Rabbi Kivegar also points out, if the father owes money to somebody, so if Yerusha's Achim works directly, so whoever the father owed money to should have no stake and no claims on the Yerusha that goes from one brother to another brother. But if it works through the father, so as it passes through the father, the Balei Chov of the father now have what to say about that money. Other Nafkamina, the Gidulei Shmuel points out a Nafkamina, a son takes a neder from his father's nechassim, that he's not going to get any hanah from his father's nechassim. Can he yarshin his brother? So if it works through the father, no, because that's still getting hanah from his father's nechassim. But if it doesn't work through the father, it's just a direct Yerusha, so then yeah, sure, there would be no reason for him not to get the Yerusha from his brother. And one final nafkamina, the Chuvus Mariel Diskin has a fascinating nafkamina. Halacha is, if a person is chofer bar b'rishos harabim, you dig a bar in rishos harabim, so you chayv for any damages that the bar does, right? What if a person digs a bar in rishos harabim, and after he digs the bar in rishos harabim, he dies? And then people are still getting damaged in the bar. A guy decides it would be funny to take a sledgehammer or something and make a huge gaping pothole in the middle of a busy street. So he makes a gaping pothole, but he got hit by a car right after he was finished. So he's gone now. But the pothole is still there. So one car after another just keeps getting flat tire. So does his estate have to pay for the bar that he dug while he was alive? So the halacha is that the yorshim are not able to say, oh, we only got the rest of the nechassim. We weren't yorish the bar. They're yorish the bar as well, whatever the chiyuvim that come from the bar. So says the Gedulei Shmuel, it's mistaver that if the Yerusha is only b'derach mishmush, the yorish shebekever does not yarshin. Because what does it mean to yarshin a bar? Nobody owns that bar. It means to yarshin chiyuve shmira. Dead people cannot yarshin chiyuve shmira. Only living people can yarshin chiyuve shmira, because dead people are incapable of shmira, obviously. So if you assume that achin, that with brothers it works alidei mishmush, if the father is dead and one brother digs a bar and dies, the other brother should not yarshin the chiyuvim of that bar, because there could be no mishmush through the father because the father is dead. But if you hold that it's a direct yerusha straight from one brother to the other brother, then yeah, sure, then the yerusha would be able to work from one brother to the other. So those are the five nafkaminas, whether it works alidei mishmush or it doesn't work alidei mishmush. But be that as it may, that is the first category of our Mishnah, of those who are nochlin and manchilin. Then we move on to category number two. Ha'ish es imo, a man as far as it relates to his mother. The Bach already points out, it's unusual, because we were talking about ha'av es habanim, banim es ha'av, son, father, and yet when it comes to a mother, I guess in honor of upcoming Mother's Day, we don't say son and mother, we say a man and his mother. Why not the son and mother? Why ish yoresh imo, not ben yoresh es imo? So the Mishnah says this lashon to tell us, says the Bach, that just like by ish v'ishto, the nachla passes me from avia isha to the baal. So too by the ben v'imo, the nachla passes me mita avia aim l'mita bina. So that's why it's considered as if he's an adam zar, because of the way it passes through. But the kash is very strong. So anyway, so ish es imo v'ish es ishto, or a man with his wife, ubnei achios, or the sons of sisters, nochlin v'lo manchilin. Halach is they receive Yerusha, but they do not bequeath. So what does that mean, b'nei achios? What relationship is that? So says Rashbam, b'nei achios nochlin v'lo manchilin. It's exactly what it sounds like. Two sisters have children, and the children of the two sisters. The ben nochel es achos imo, a son will yarshin his mother's sister, sharihu b'mikoach ha'em, because the son is in place of his mother. V'ilu mesa dodaso b'chaye imo yorashta, if his mother were alive while his aunt died, the mother would yarshin her own sister, v'gam hu yorish es imo, and the son yarshins his mother. Nimsa shabo liado nichse dodaso. So one gets the nechasim of his aunt. V'lo manchilin, so that the k'shemes haben eino manchil achos imo. So bnei achios doesn't mean sons of two sisters. It means sons of your sister's son. Meaning, if you have two sisters, the son, the nephew, is as far as the aunt is concerned, will yarshin the aunt, will be yorish from the aunt, but he will not be morish to the aunt. Why? When the son dies, he's eino manchil achos imo el lekrove Aviv, because we're always going to look at relatives on the father's side where he's going to pass the Yerusha on to. It's not going to be to the relatives on the mother's side. V'od da'achos imo Heich Tirashenu. And furthermore, says the Rashbam, how could it be that his mother's sister would ever yarshin him? Halo he bought mikoch achosushi imo shalzeh, v'lo em yichol li yarsho. She's only related to him through the mother, and the mother herself can't yarshin him, because I mean, it's just imo noch v'lo malchil. Kalvachomer shudot tirashis ben achosa. Uba achios mina av, Mary. Obviously, when we're talking about these sisters, we're talking about sisters who share the same father. Aval achios mina em, ein nechta ben achosa yorishosa. Then there's nothing to talk about, obviously. The ben achosa is not going to work. It's not really an achos when it comes to Dina Yerusha. If they only share the same mother, they don't share the same father. But anyway, that's one pshat in what this means. Bnei achios means an aunt and her nephew. Lishna achrina, though, says the Rashbam, ubnei achos, bnei achoso shel Reuven. Kigon b'nei Dina nochlin also. Not two sisters and an aunt and a nephew. No, a man has a sister and the sister has children. So Reuven has a sister Dina. Dina has children. So they are nochlin also. Shere Dina yoresha says Reuven acheha. Ubanel ba'an mikocha. Dina yarshins Reuven her brother and her children come. Mikoach Dina. Avalom manchilin li Reuven. Dina's children will not be manchil to Reuven. Sharuven mikoach achosu Dina bali reshul son. Velo Dina atzmein yarashtan. Now, Reuven's only relationship to those kids is through his sister Dina. Dina herself cannot yarshan those kids. Kedamran, da aim ena nachalas espana. Elokrove, because a mother doesn't yarsh, does not receive from her children. Elokrove baala sheldina yarshin espaneha. The relatives of Dina. Dina's husband will yarshin Dina's children. The mishpachas av yarashas lo mishpachas ein. It's got to work through the father's side, not through the mother's side. Which of these pshatim is more correct? Says Rashbam v'zed nir be'ena. I think the second one is correct. Mishum deketani seifa ha'isha espina v'isha esbaila va'achei ha'em manchilin v'lonochlin. That it talks about the flip side of these relationships of nochlin v'lo manchilin are those that are manchilin v'lo nochlin. And on that list is achei ha'em, your mother's brother. So if the flip side is your mother's brother, this side must be your sister's son, because that's the other side of this relationship. So the Rashbam says, to keep it consistent with the rest of the Mishnah, it seems that this is the correct pshat. And then we have the third category, the Ha'isha Espaneha, V'isha Esbaila, a woman, as far as her children are concerned, a woman as far as her husband is concerned, V'achi Ya'em, and your mother's brothers, Manchilin V'lonochlin. They bequeath, but they do not receive the Yerusha. And then the fourth category, V'achid Mina'em, L'onochlin V'lonochlin. If you have brothers from a mother that share a mother, they don't get Yerusha whatsoever. There is no Yerusha that passes through brothers who only share a mother, but do not share a father. Rashbam points out about the sixth very wide line, but avalim imo krovelo mitzad mishpachas aviv. You know, it's not that a mother is excluded from Yerusha. It's that she's not considered a relative. But let's say she's also related on the father's side. It used to be very common that people would marry relatives, so it could be that that the mother is also his father's first cousin, or something like that, or his father's niece. So there is some other relationship. Ve'in lo karov me'aviv shekarov lo kemo imo, and maybe she's the closest living relative on the father's side. So az heim yoreshes as a bed. So then the mother would yarshin the son. That's the kasha the Achronim deal with Rashash and others. Rav Elchanan, why does Rosh Hashanah have to tell me this? Obviously, meaning we really think that that being the mother is mafkia her from any possibility of Yerusha. No, it's just that it's not a din in Yerusha. The din of Yerusha works through the father's side. So obviously, if the mother's the closest living relative on the father's side of the family, obviously she's going to yarshin. So that's what the Acharim say, that maybe we would have thought that there's some sort of gezeira in play over here, that we have to make a gezeira that the mother shouldn't yarshin, because people are going to think that mother's yarshin if you have a situation where the mother would actually yarshin. So we have to, Rosh Hashanah has to tell us that that's not the case. There is a Rav Zilberstein has a riddle. He likes to have riddles in halacha. He says it's possible sometimes, or how's it possible that a person dies, he didn't leave any sort of tzava of who gets what, and only some some of his children, some of his sons, he has multiple sons, only some of them will yarshin his zechiyah. So he points out an anomaly in the halacha. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch Shin Mem Aleph Sif Aleph, if someone borrows a kli or a behema from his friend for a set amount of time, so as soon as he makes a kinyan on it, the owner of that kli cannot ask for it back until that time is up, even if the borrower dies. So a guy borrows a kli for a month and then he dies a week later, the lender cannot ask for it back, because the Yorshim have the right to use it that entire time period. But says the Nesivos, that's only banim asomchem al shulchan aviyem. That's only if the children are somech on the shulchan aviyem, live in their father's house. Because otherwise the mashal could say, look, I believed the father in a shavua. I don't trust you guys. I don't trust the children. Maybe you're going to claim that there was some sort of ones, and I don't want to leave a behemoth with you where I'm going to take that kind of risk. But when it comes to those banim or asomchem al shulchan aviyem, you know full well that when you lend something to someone and he lives in a house with other people, that you're not just lending it to him, you're lending it to all of the members of the household. So he says, there you have a case where the father had these items in his possession for the next 30 days, year, whatever the term of the she'ela was. So he has these items in his possession, and only those sons that still live with him are going to be able to use it. Those sons that no longer live with him are not going to be able to use it. Okay, says the Gemara, Maishna dekatani ha'aves ha'banim bereisha. You know, of the two situations where a father dies before a child or a child dies before a father, why don't we start with something a little more cheerful? Why don't we first mention the case of the father dying before the child? For two reasons. It's terrible to start with something so sad. Why would you start with something with the child predeceasing his own parents, his own father? And also the pasuk says, Ish kiyamos uben ein lo, the whole parasha of Yerusha. We read the pasukim before. Say, if a man dies and he doesn't have a son, which implies that that the first din of Yerusha is that a son yarshins from his deceased father. That's the assumption of the whole din of Yerusha. So shouldn't that come first? Why is it that we don't put that first? So the Gemara answers, Tana Aidi da Asile Midrasha Chavivale, that since the idea that if a father yarshins his deceased son is something that we derive from Midrasha, it's more beloved to us, because whatever one has to work hard to be able to figure out, rather than that which is served to us on a silver platter, that's always something that's more beloved to us. That's always something that we're more connected to. In psychology, they call it the IKEA effect. There's actually a name for it, that people tend to get much more nachas ruach from the furniture they bought from IKEA, even though it may not be the highest quality, than furniture they got elsewhere. Because furniture that they get elsewhere, they got furniture. But IKEA, they had to put it together. They had to work hard. So every time they passed by, look how nice that is. Look what a good job I did. So they get a little geschmack every time they see it. So that's the idea. It's chavivalei, that something is beloved to us when we have to put some work into it. So that which comes from Midrasha is also more beloved to us. This idea of a schulib paranusa lomas, and the idea that it's an assumption that it's paranus, which is generally a safe assumption, that if a child predeceases a parent, is relevant in halacha also. It's not just tam, a nice idea that we don't want to start with something negative. And it's relevant in a couple places in halacha. First of all, it's relevant in terms of how we split up aliyos in the Torah. We try to be mesayim bedavar tov, so we want to start and finish on a good point, and we don't want to start or finish on a bad point. And that's why you have in mesechtos of mishnayos and mesechtos of gemara, that the gemara might be talking about the most morose and sad and morbid topic, and then it will be Ratzon Hakadosh Baruch Hu lezakos Yisrael v'ichu shabim Torah mitzvah, or something like that, to finish off a why do we do that? Because we want to, it's good to start and end on a cheerful note. But even more related to the halachos of Yerusha itself, is halach in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim Simen Reish Chav Gimel, Meis Aviv, if a person's father dies, Mevarech Dayana Emes. A person has to be Mevarech Al Rag, Shem Shem Mevarech Al Tova. So we say a bracha of Dayana Emes. And what if the father had money and the son just yarshined a whole bunch of money? You still say Dayan Emes? Absolutely. Losing a parent definitely warrants a Dayan Emes. But if you don't have any brothers and you're the only one that yarshins, you also recite Shehechianu, not on the death, but on the Yerusha. And if you have brothers, so the halacha is whenever Shehechianu would be recited by a yachid, when it's more than one individual that's getting the benefit from it, then you say Hatova Meitiv. So you would recite a bracha of Hatova Meitiv on the Yerusha. Says Rabbi Kiveger, and that goes on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, in the name of the Livyas Chain in Parshas Bo, let's say Rachmana Litzlan, it wasn't the father who left all the money, the child died, and the child was wealthy, and left, or even not wealthy, but he left the Yerusha, and the father received the Yerusha. Does the father recite both Dayan HaEmes and Shechianu on the Yerusha? Says Rabbi Kiveger, absolutely not. That's a Peronos Gamur, that a child predeceasing a parent is such a Peronos that there's no way that you would recite a Shechianu, even though there may be a significant Yerusha when it comes from a child. Pischichuv in Yerodeh Simon Shinhei Sivkat Chav Gimel says that from the Shach over there in Sivkat Yedzayin, it sounds that if the son dies and he has Nechasim and the father did Yarshin him, he should say a Shechianu, but Livy Aschein disagrees. This Rabbi Kiveger quotes Livy Aschein that disagrees with what it sounds like from the Shach. The Orach HaShulchan Paskins that Afilu Im Yarash Mibno Kigon Shagire Shishto Umesa V'Yarsha Haben Ubimisaso Yirasha Av, even if the father yarshins from the son, Eino Mivarech Shechianu, does not say Shechianu. The Bemes Aviv Derech Haben Lirash Sa'av Vav Simcha Be'inyan Zeh. You can see a silver lining, meaning it's normal that a parent predeceases a child, and because it's normal, as sad as a time as it is, the idea that the Yerusha goes to him is also a positive thing, and that's the way the world is supposed to work, that the son is supposed to receive the Yerusha, so we can acknowledge the good in that. But to acknowledge the good in a son dying before the father, that one is not interested in ever receiving such a Yerusha. Rabbi Zilberstein discusses, what if you have a case where it's a Rachmanus already that the son should die? The son was born with some sort of horrible illness, and then while he was alive, his few days on this earth, or his few weeks on this earth, his few months on this earth, he received the Yerusha from his mother's side, or something like that. So, and then the father receives, but it was a Rachmanus already that he should die. Maybe there you would say a Shechianu. But most poskim go in the opposite direction. They say that not only would you not recite a Shechianu on a Yerusha received from a child, you probably wouldn't even recite a Shechianu anymore, even though it's a Beferish Halach and Shulchan Aruch, and a Halach Beferish in the Gemara, probably wouldn't even recite a Shechianu anymore on a Yerusha received from a parent. In Nimukei Arachayim he says, Lo Shamanu Me'olam, we never heard of such a thing, that a person loses a parent and he's going to say Shechianu, or Atov V'Ameitiv, Mechzi Ka'achzorius. It looks like Achzorius, that he's unaffected by the death of his parent. It's a Pagam in the covet of his father, that he's happy about the death, that he's going to say Shechianu, Eich Yivarach Shechianu L'Zman Hazeh, in his man of Aninus, in his man of Avelus. So he says, nowadays, anyone who says this bracha, Eino Ella Min Hamatmihim. Such a person is doing something strange to say a bracha. The other achronim say, well, it depends. It depends on the situation. If the father was a zakin muflag, and sometimes you go to a levaya and it's the saddest thing, and sometimes you go to a levaya and it's a celebration of an incredible life. If it's that kind of thing, so maybe then. That's other achronim are not so convinced. We should just throw away a din that's straight in the Gemara and straight in the Shulchan Aruch. To not recite, to change that din and not recite a Shechianu. Okay, says the Gemara further now. So we said that there are two very good reasons why we would want to start the Masechta with, not the Masechta, the Perek, with first the discussion of the father dying and the son yarshining him, rather than the son dying and the father yarshining him. But we said, no, we do it the other way around, because that which is Asya Midrasha is Chavivale. Says my drasha. What's the drasha that from which we learn that a father yarshins a son? Detanya she'ero zehaav. The word she'ero in the pasuk is a reference to the father. Melamed she'av kodem la'achin. So you see from there that a father comes before the brothers. That was our whole discussion. Yeah, he comes before the brothers. Do the brothers only come mikoach li'av? That's the discussion in the Rishonim Achronim. But the father comes before the brothers. Yachliye Kodem Leben, you might think the father comes before a son as well, that if a person has a son and a father when he dies, that the father gets the Yerusha. Tamlamar Karov, Karov, Karov Kodem. That's why it says Akarov, that teaches us Karov, Karov Kodem, and the son is considered the closer relative than the father, because the son, why is he considered a closer relative? So Rashbam already foreshadows what the Gemara is going to say in a few lines from now, because he's come tachas aviv for yiud, for steachuza. There are all sorts of halachos that the father doesn't step in the son's place, but the son steps in for his father. We don't find that the av is come tachas b'no for anything. There is no halacha at all that the father takes the son's place. So therefore a son is considered a karov, a greater karov, a closer karov than the father. Umari isa l'rabos ha-ben ulotzi es ha'ach. But still, how do you know that the son is a closer relative than the brother? Maybe a brother is a closer relative than the son. As Rashbam says, Umari isa l'rabos ha-ben shal meis she'e kodem la'aviyah meis v'kolshken shkodem la'achiyah meis heicha deleka av. Meaning we're saying that the father even comes before the brothers. Who says? Maybe the brothers do the brothers not only take a back seat to the father, they don't even take a back seat to the sons. So why not say that the brothers are the closest relative? So says Gemara, Marbani as Haben. Now the reason a son is considered a closer relative is because, like we were just saying, the son takes the father's place for a number of halachos. Shekein kam tachas aviv liyada ulisteachuza. When it comes to the din of yiud and when it comes to the din of steachuza, a son completely takes his father's place. What are these dinim? So Rashbam tells us that yiud is if Reuven buys an ame ivria, he's able to be miyaid. He's able to take that ame ivria as a wife when he wants, and he doesn't have to give her a separate ring for kesef kiddushin. The money that he already paid will count as the kesef kiddushin. All he has to say is harei at miu edesli. If he wants, though, he can give the girl to his son without a need for separate kesef kiddushin. But to anyone else, there is no din of yud. Any other man that wants to marry this girl is going to have to do a separate act of kiddushin. So you see that the son, mamish, takes the father's place when it comes to yud, and also by steachuza. If someone decides that he's going to be maktish his inheritance, his field of that he inherited. So if he doesn't redeem the field, and the gizbar of Hegdish sells the field to somebody else, what happens to that field at Hegdish? It goes to the at Yovel rather. It goes to the Kohanim at Yovel. But if the son of this man redeemed the field, then it goes back to the father at Yovel. So you see that the son is like the father redeeming the field. Just like if the father redeemed the field, he'd keep it at Yovel. If the son redeems the field, it goes back to the father at Yovel. Any other man on earth, his brothers, anybody else on earth, the halacha would not be that way. The halacha would be that it would go to the Kohanim at Yovel. So you see, for these two halachos, the son is specifically taking the place of the father. Tosis points out there's a third halacha, and it's a plia atzuma that the Gemara doesn't mention. He says, okay, the Gemara mentions two out of three. There's a third halacha that for Eved Ivri, that there's a din of kam tachtav, that there's no Yerusha of an Eved Ivri. If a man doesn't have a child, and he has a brother, let's say, or he has other relatives, and he dies, and it's only the second year of the Eved Ivri's term, the Eved Ivri goes free. He doesn't go for Yerusha. You don't own him. So you know there's no din of Yerusha. But there is a din of kam tachtav, that the son takes the place of the father, and if there is a son, therefore the Eved continues to work for the son after the father dies. Not clear why the Gemara doesn't mention it. So I ask the Gemara, but adraba, marbani es ha'ach shekein kam tachas achiv liyibum. You know, there's one big halacha where a brother takes the place of his brother, and that's with the halacha of yibum. So maybe that reflects a closer relationship. So says Gemara, yeah, you know when there's yibum? When there's no son. Klum yesh yibum ela b'makam she'ein ben, ha'makam she'esh ben, ein yibum. So when there is a son, there is no yibum. So that's why we're not going to say that the brother is a closer relationship. Frek the Gemara, Taima diika hai pircha halava chiyava mina ach adif. Wow, it sounds like it's only because we don't look at Yibum, since Yibum is only there when there's no sun. But had it not been for that factor, then Yibum would have been the determining the determinant of the closer relationship. Well, typically dachatarti vachachada. Shouldn't the sun still be a closer relationship because there's Yiyud and there's Teachuza, and we didn't mention Eved Ivri. So there's more things that relate the son to the father than there are that relate a brother to a brother. Now, Steachuza gufa mehaytaimu who the kakaima leilatana klum yesh yibum elav makom shein ben hayesh ben ein yibum. We only know that the son is special when it comes to Steachuza because of that relationship, that special relationship that the son has, which reflects itself in the dinim of yibum. That only when there is a son, only when there's no son, is there a din of yibum. When there is a son, there's no need for a din of yibum. So that was the basis of that old din. So you can't start playing the numbers game. Maybe we'll go over that point because it's important. Tosos on the bottom over here, but tomorrow we'll pick up from there. All right.